Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
I actually don't think Dave Roberts is going to get fired today.
I would not be surprised one bit.
I know that's what everyone's saying, and I understand emotions are running hot right now after the Game 5 loss by the Dodgers last night. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you. Glad to have you with us. When I look back, three seasons, 322 regular and postseason wins for Dave Roberts in 3 years. That's like 107 wins a season that he is putting down for the Dodgers. And, yeah, even if you say that last night's loss is completely on him, Woods. He made the wrong call. It's his fault for bringing in Clayton Kershaw. I think a lot of other managers would have done exactly the same. I mean, which manager are you going to go find that doesn't put in Clayton Kershaw in that situation?
I think there's a lot.
Joe Maddon doesn't put in Clayton Kershaw there?
I don't think so. Well, listen, obviously hindsight's being 20/20, and it's really fun to second-guess managers' decisions. It's what guys like us do best. It's what people on Twitter do best. When he put out Clayton Kershaw to get Adam Eaton, and he gets Adam Eaton on three pitches, that's it. Done. You did your job, Clayton. You got that lefty out. You know, you did it. Well done. There's your moment. Okay? Now go sit. We're going to win this ball game. You got Kenta Maeda, who's been really, really effective. And I don't think you'd have to answer. I don't think there'd be one person in the media that would say, why didn't you leave Clayton Kershaw out there for the eighth, knowing that his ERA after the sixth in the postseason is like 12? I don't think there'd be one person in the media or one fan that would question, why did you not let Kershaw go back out there to get Rendon and Soto, two of the best hitters on the planet? I really don't.
Well, it clearly was a mistake. I mean, you know, in hindsight, we can tell you with 100% certainty.
Of course.
That no matter who you brought in there,
but you're saying,
the worst thing you can do is give up two home runs.
So no doubt. It's the worst thing.
I mean, you could have brought in, me. And
yeah.
I couldn't have done any worse.
Right. And I think, you know, you're saying he made the move knowing that it was the right move, or thinking that it was the right move. And I don't think he's going to make a move just so he doesn't get roasted, you know, by the media or on Twitter. I think he could care less. But I do think that there would not be one person in the world that would say, oh, no, Kershaw, great call, Dave, getting him to get Eaton and then not, like, putting somebody else in to start that next inning. I don't think there'd be one person that would question
that. I will acknowledge it was a mistake. It was a bad mistake. It was one decision out of thousands that he makes every season.
Two decisions. So then he gives up a bomb, and you still let him pitch? That's okay.
Okay, but the pitch to Rendon,
it was a great
pitch. Was not a bad pitch.
Okay, I mean, but the result was terrible. So right then and there, you got to go.
Then you
out.
Have the lefty coming
who
up,
cares?
Who you've had success against. The reason that he was out there in the first place, I don't think I'd take him out at that point.
God, I do.
But
he doesn't even start that.
Even if it was a horrible, horrible decision, I don't judge a guy on his worst moment.
Sure.
I judge him on 3 years of consistent success. Of mm-hmm. having that team playing great baseball, you know, 322 wins.
I get it.
I don't fire him.
That mean nothing. Those wins with that team, and let's call it what it is, that with that payroll and their abject failures in the postseason. How do you run that guy back out
there? I love when we get a topic like this because we have people just calling. I haven't even thrown out the phone numbers yet.
Yeah.
We have people calling in that want to sound off. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Would you want to take a couple of calls?
Absolutely.
Early in the morning here?
Absolutely.
7 to 6 a.m. hour. Let's start in Jason in North County. Good morning and welcome to Ben and Woods.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just want to start off saying how ecstatic I was to see the Dodgers choke last night. But, yeah, my question was whether or not the Dodgers had the knee-jerk reaction, fire Dave Roberts, and at the end of the week, is Joe Maddon the next Dodger manager?
Ooh. Well, and so that's a great question. And
didn't even think about that.
I really didn't either because there was something, though, yesterday that came out that the Angels are going to be interviewing Buck Showalter. And who was the other
John
one?
John Farrell.
John Farrell. That was the former Red Sox
and
manager.
And one more that's still unnamed out there.
Who would that be, you think?
Oh, I don't know. But
probably not Jace
just
Taylor.
The fact that these names are getting interviewed and being leaked out, I think I tend to view that as a legitimate managerial search, that they're not 100% sold on Joe Maddon. Because the last
Jace Tingler.
The last thing, it's probably not Jace Tingler. The last thing you want if you're the Angels and you're going hard after Joe Maddon is for him to kind of sit there going, what's going on here? I thought this was my job to, you know, if I wanted it, it was mine. And all of a sudden you're bringing in Buck and you're bringing in John Farrell to interview. Well, maybe I ought to start looking a little more strongly at that Padres
and somewhere else.
Job or somewhere yeah. else. So to me, it sounds like the Angels are, if not having second thoughts, aren't as 100% committed as we thought.
Or is that just the old standard, we're doing our due diligence and taking a lot of meetings. Joe, the job is yours, but we need to do this.
Yeah, we don't know what's been said to Joe behind closed doors. I don't know that the Dodgers are immediately the favorites over the Angels. If what we've heard about the relation between Joe Maddon and the Angels organization is true, I don't know why he would then pick the Dodgers. Sure, yeah, you've got a great roster, great payroll.
Great future, great young talent.
Yeah, lot of pressure, though, on that job. You know, you could certainly see it happening, but I don't think it's a done deal if the Dodgers fire Dave Roberts that Joe Maddon's automatically their next manager.
I don't think so either, but I do think that that's a really interesting thing to look at. And man, Benny, I know it sounds knee-jerk. I know it sounds... But knee-jerk would have been firing him after the first World Series loss. Then, which they, by the way, 17 is the year they should have won it all. 2018, yeah, I mean, they ran into a buzzsaw. And then this year, to not advance, to get knocked out in the first round with that payroll, that team that was built for October, 106 wins. Guys, how do you run him back out there? Just by saying, well, he's been really good in the regular season. I don't know. I really don't know how you would do it. He's got three more years left on his deal, I believe.
I will say this, that if the Dodgers do have that reaction where they fire Dave Roberts, I would be absolutely fine with the Padres at least bringing him in for an interview. And if they hired him, I think they could do a lot worse than Dave Roberts as their next manager. Really do. To me, he would be the proven, experienced postseason manager as good as you could probably get, you know, that's not named Joe Maddon at this point, to come in and take over what you're trying to do over the next 3 or 4 years.
Ben, you do a great
there.
Job.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go.
I feel like you have a vested interest in that happening.
Are you biased at all?
Ben, you do a great job.
I told you yesterday.
So
of course
long.
I'm biased. Of course I am. George is calling us all the way from New York City, listening on the radio.com app.
Hey now.
Love George, it. Good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Good morning, guys. I was watching that game last night because I was hoping for a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, you know, the whole nostalgia and everything.
Sure.
But I got to tell you, that was the biggest choke job of all. I would have never let Clayton pitch the eighth. I would have said, call Jansen, tell him he's got the ball in the eighth and the ninth. I'm bringing in my closer. I'm closing these guys out now. It doesn't matter. I'm going to lose with my best up there.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's
Dave
a great,
Roberts
great
has
point.
No guts.
How about Maeda? How about Maeda and Kenley? Joe Kelly Which, by the way, I couldn't have been happier that it happened to Joe Kelly, because I have never, never, ever liked Joe Kelly. And Joe Kelly is actually pretty happy with Clayton Kershaw today, because it took a little bit of the heat off of him, even though he's the one that gave up the granny. And it was a total, total meltdown in the last two innings of that game.
But what alternate universe am I living in that people are saying Kenley Jansen should have been in there? Kenley Jansen's
been bad.
Who was one of the least reliable guys for the Dodgers all season, and you're going to trust him in that situation over a surefire Hall of Famer, three-time Cy Young Award winner.
Who has been horrid from the sixth inning on in baseball. The numbers bear it out. I mean, if you wanted to fall back, if Dave Roberts wanted to say, guys, look at...
what do you think he's doing wrong? Is he too amped up? Is he too nervous?
Clayton?
I mean, yeah, what do you think, what do you think is different about Clayton Kershaw in the postseason versus the regular season?
It's the it's that
he doesn't look like he's mentally frazzled.
No, I mean, dude, the guy, he's lost a lot of velocity. It's changed him as a pitcher.
He was kind of rough in the postseason, even when he was Clayton Kershaw velocity. What is it about the postseason, or is it simply that old? I mean, Trevor Hoffman didn't perform well in a couple of postseasons. Was it because Trevor Hoffman caved under the pressure, or was it because you only have a handful of innings in the postseason and if it happens to be a black cloud floats over you over like a good chunk of those innings, you look like you're a bad postseason pitcher, but really it's just a case of small sample size. And if they bring in Clayton Kershaw 100 more times in the postseason, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer given enough opportunities to succeed out there.
I don't know what it is, and that's the ultimate mystery. There's something different about guys in October. I mean, man, you know, you'd watch, as a Yankee fan, I grew up, I'd watch El Duque pitch in the regular season, be like, all right. The guy was an animal in the postseason. Andy Pettit was an animal in the postseason. You could not beat him. It's a different mentality. It's better execution. But there is something there. Black cloud, curse, whatever you want to call it. From the sixth inning on, Clayton Kershaw should not get the ball in October. He just shouldn't.
We will talk more baseball coming up, especially our 8 a.m. hour today. You're definitely not going to want to miss that. Our postseason analyst, Brett Boone, is going to be back with us.
Dude, I can't wait.
I missed it last week. I'm really excited.
That
was a lot of fun. But also during that 8 o'clock hour, John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees.
Unbelievable.
As that team gets ready for the American League Championship Series,
I talked to him yesterday, called him
just
to set up the interview.
On the phone.
I just kind of got goosebumps.
Dude,
just talking. The voice.
Can you load the voicemail he sent you?
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm never deleting it off my phone.
No, you never should. It's incredible.
It's the coolest thing ever.
He sent it to me. I was like, God, jealous. Jealous.
So, you know, they're waiting to see who wins today's game between the Astros and the Rays. And John Sterling's going to spend a few minutes with us coming up at 8:35 today. Really looking forward to that. Before that, we will get into some football. Chris Mortensen, our Mort Report from ESPN, will be with us at 7:35. Coming up next, Cash Meddy trying to rebound from a slow start to the season.
Hey, so how did he do last week?
He's like Clayton Kershaw. He's not hiding from it. I think he's 14 and 19 on the season.
Okay,
so far.
Still time
to catch up. He's not hiding from it. He's standing up and taking all questions. He's going to join us with his picks coming up next. Also, guess who's trying to worm his way back into the NFL?
Oh, don't say it.
We didn't actually talk much about Antonio Brown when you were gone, but
he's back.
He's back. Well, not he's not back.
He's not but back, he, but he's but back in he's, the news.
He's back in the news again.
Perfect.
That is coming up all throughout this morning. We go until 9 o'clock. It is Ben and Woods. Let's get our first check of traffic now right on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danning. Did Antonio Brown really think the Patriots are going to bring him back?
I mean, having stranger things happen, Benny, at this point, with Antonio Brown in the whole saga, nothing would surprise me anymore. Nothing.
So how long is that Instagram video? I know we've got Cash Meddy waiting to make his picks, Paul, but how long is the video of Antonio Brown? Is it worth playing or is it not worth playing?
12 seconds?
I can probably spare 12 seconds of Craig Meddy's time. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. I didn't see it, so you're going to have to let me hear what he had to say.
Hope you guys having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it. XFL, never. That was not even in the question.
All right, well, I think there's some debate about whether or not Antonio Brown's going to win his grievances.
Correct.
If he doesn't, then the New England Patriots don't have to pay.
Correct.
Him. Even if they did, I don't really see a scenario in which Bill Belichick is eager to just put Antonio Brown back into the mix now on the team.
Unless they lose to the Giants this weekend. They consider it.
In fact, that game, I believe, is the largest point spread in the history of Thursday Night Football.
I got 17.5 right now.
Patriots. Whew. And I believe it's also one of the areas we'll be talking about with our guy, Cash Meddy. Craig Meddy joins us, our weekly picks analyst. And he's like Clayton Kershaw, standing up in front of the media. He's not hiding from his record this year, which is, it's poor, Craig. It's poor.
It's very poor. I've been off to a really tough start. I've never really had this bad of a start. I'm 14-19. But I am 4-1 in my last five.
Okay.
So. All right.
Stay
last hot. Week, yeah, we did well last week.
So figures the week that I'm out and don't listen and can't place the bets.
See, that's the thing.
Exactly
that's the thing, though,
happened.
You know, as soon as, and you've always been, and the reason we quote unquote hired you for free, is because we followed your track record and you were so upfront about it. And we thought, this guy's doing great. Let's see what he can do for the masses.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you go on the radio, you go on TV. It gets a lot harder. I don't know why. I don't know who's paying attention. The gambling gods out there always make it a little more difficult. But the momentum is on your side now, Craig.
Let's keep rolling.
So before we get to that Patriots-Giants game, let's start with college football. What do you like this weekend?
Okay, I'm going to start with LSU is playing Florida. It's at LSU. I'm taking LSU minus 13. I mean, it's a lot of points, but I love LSU at home at night.
Florida coming off a big win last week.
Yeah. I think the crowd is going to be like hammer and start drinking really early. I think they're going to be loud, you know.
they had to start on Tuesday. Have they already started yesterday?
I'm sure those people in LSU are, you know, been drinking all week for this game. But the main thing I like in the LSU is they changed their offense this year. They used to run a blockbuster offense in a Netflix era. Now they've subscribed to Netflix. They're doing a fast-paced offense that has led to leads the nation in scoring at 52 points a game. They got this passing coordinator from the Saints, and he's totally opened it up for them. They're passing the football with Joe Burrow. Florida, like you were saying, they beat Auburn last week. I think they kind of got lucky against Auburn. I mean, they had four fumbles. They had an 80-yard touchdown. It was kind of fluke play. A couple broke a few tackles there. That Florida's played two freshman quarterbacks in Jaren Williams from Miami and Bo Nix, playing a senior quarterback that's really hot. You know, looks like he's going to be up there for the Heisman and Joe Burrow. I like LSU at home minus 13.
I like
let's
that.
Be,
too.
Let's be fair, though, Craig. We know you're not above having a couple of cocktails and going on Periscope either.
See, that is true.
You have that in common with Hammer.
No, I
did it last night.
I thought I was giving a compliment to Hammer there. I wasn't making fun of him. That's my kind of guy.
Kindred spirits.
Simpatico.
Let's get started.
Yeah, let's get started. Exactly. If I have to go to work, I would get started right now.
Absolutely.
It seems to me like a Thursday night game with a 17-plus point spread is sounds like the danger zone in terms of gambling. But you got a thought on the game tonight?
Yeah, see, I got it at 16.5. I took the Patriots, and like you said, I mean that is a lot of points, but everything is pointing here for the Patriots. One thing I like to do is I like to look at schedules, reading the schedules, and the Patriots, the last two games they played Washington and Buffalo. Well, those are two teams that the Giants already played, so I feel like they got a little bit of a head start on the Giants. Looking at their film, you know, you could see what the Giants are doing. You know, some things are doing good, some things are not doing so well. You know, Belichick's probably the best at that. Belichick versus a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks have been a disaster against Belichick. The Patriots' defense has only given up two touchdowns this year. They're only giving up 6.8 points per game, and that's really, it's only that high is because they gave up a special teams touchdown and an interception to the house.
teams are 8-for-63 on third downs against the Patriots.
Wow.
And they and the Patriots defense has 11 interceptions. I mean, the Patriots defense is shutting teams down. Now, they played an easy schedule, but I don't think the Giants really are that good.
They might be looking ahead to the Jets next week, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no Saquon. Yeah,
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The Giants don't have Barkley. They don't have Ingram, the tight end. They don't have Shepard. They don't even have their second string running back, Goldman. He got hurt, too. I mean, the Giants are just coming in. I think it's going to be a long, long night for them. I could see, like, you know, 34-3, something like that. I don't really see how the Giants get more than 10 points tonight. So
Danny Dimes, no love for Danny Dimes.
Not against Belichick.
He's good. He's looking really good, and he can make some plays. But
Belichick
they don't
laughs
have their
at Danny
starters.
Dimes.
Yeah, and I think the Giants are in trouble tonight. Now 16.5 is a lot of points, but in this day and era, dude, next thing you know, like you blink and it's 14-0. So.
Well, and I'm so confident in Cashmere and his resurgence, Ben, that I just took the Patriots at 17.5. So,
all right, well, yeah. there you go. Yeah. All right, not quite as good. All right, finally, Craig, your team, the Detroit Lions. I know you're a big Lions backer against the Green Bay Packers. They're coming off, a little bit of momentum here as well.
Beating the Cowboys,
yeah. So let's see. What do you got on this one?
This one, I just have a lean because I need some more information. It's a Monday night game. I need to see more on the injury report and stuff like that. But I'm going to lean Detroit here, and it's not a homer pick. I mean, what week are we in? We're in week 6. This is the first time I'm talking about Detroit. But I really like what I see out of Matt Patricia and the schemes that he's doing. Detroit's offense has been really balanced this year. They've never had a running game. Matt Stafford's era, they finally have a running game. Detroit is 4-0 in the last 4 games against Green Bay. I don't think people realize that.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, no one talks about it. Devontae Adams, I don't think he's going to play, and I think that's really going to hurt Green Bay this week. I know last week they didn't really throw as much. They kind of just pounded Aaron Jones against the Cowboys. Detroit has really good corners, though, and I think they could shut down Green Bay's passing. Well, I mean, it's hard to shut down Aaron Rodgers in the passing game, but I think they definitely can slow it down without Devontae Adams. I think this week it's going to hurt not having Devontae Adams is what I'm trying to say. And Philadelphia, when they beat Green Bay, they went to a two tight end set, and they kind of ran it down Green Bay's throat. Detroit has two good tight ends that can block, Hockenson, the first-round pick, and Jesse James. So I think Detroit's going to do the same thing there. And I really like Detroit coming off a bye with Matt Patricia, the way he schemes teams up. Last year off a bye, they played their best game of the season. So I just – and Green Bay's been excellent in the first half of games. I think if Patricia can scheme some things up early in the game and not let, you know, Green Bay get 20 points like they've been pretty much getting every first half, I think second half teams have had success against Green Bay. So I'd lean Detroit there, but I need to see more on – you know, I need some more information on that game.
All right, let's hope your role continues into this week. We got to get you at least back to 500 here in the next couple of weeks, and then finish strong in the second half of the season. Cashmere, Craig, it's good chatting with you. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, so you are all on board with the Patriots tonight,
dude. Absolutely,
against Danny Dimes
took
and the
them.
New York Giants.
I'm going to go ahead and take that. I'm going to stay away from that Lions game, but I am going to take that LSU as well.
All right, so we've actually got live sports action here at 6:30 in the morning. It doesn't. Wow, come on.
We've only talked about it.
Surprising this game is even being played at the moment. We'll give you an update on what's happening in China right now on Ben and Woods. That's coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
Send this one out this morning to Howie Kendrick, my hero, Ben. Wow. Grand slam with just an emphatic exclamation mark.
I believe it was only the 13th postseason decisive game, whether it's game 5 or game 7, that went to extra innings in baseball history, and then hit a grand slam. I mean, you immediately write yourself into the baseball history books by doing that.
Yeah, he'd had a bit of a challenging series as well. Big base running mistake, I think, in game three. I think he had an error that was pretty bad, too. And for him to come up in that moment off of Lowell Kelly and get that done, couldn't be happier for that guy and that organization. First time they've ever advanced in the postseason. That's and without Bryce Harper. It's just massive.
Ben Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Right now, let's get a check of traffic and see what's going on the roadways with Kelly Danick. So, Woodsy, they ended up actually playing this game in China, the first of two scheduled exhibitions between the New Jersey, or now Brooklyn Nets, I'm sorry, and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
They're currently playing it right now. I think they're going to the fourth quarter. It's been a close game. I think Nets are up by two. LeBron James played, I think, 14 minutes early on, scored 16 points. He's looked. I know you don't care about the basketball preseason.
I just fell asleep because I could swear that it's October and we're talking about preseason basketball right now.
But this has been a story in the sports world the last few days. It's crossed over into, you know, main news media. Everyone's talking about it. Politicians are getting into it. The president is getting into it.
Shocker.
This huge story.
Yeah.
And
well, okay, the story is they're playing the game.
They are playing the game.
They're in front of a packed house.
There are people, looks like, filling up the arena in China for the game. And they're out there.
So the fact that there are people there and into the game means that Adam Silver...
He's feeling a little better.
Feeling a little bit better
is what I'm thinking. But there are reports already out, and I thought this was fascinating yesterday, that if China like pulls the plug on all their NBA deals and coverage and partnerships, that because the salary cap for each team is, you know, based on a percentage of like revenue that the league earns, if the NBA all of a sudden loses the Chinese money, that the salary cap could go down as much as 15% for players. I mean, that is money out of everyone's pocket if they lose China. So we're talking about a not insignificant, you know, portion of the NBA's annual revenue. Any business would have, a lot of trouble if all of a sudden you just said, okay, we're taking away 10, 15% of your total business. I mean, most businesses live on a margin of just a few percent.
Oh, of course.
You know, profitability versus going out of business. So you take away, you know, 10% of an entire business, and all of a sudden, you've got some major crisis going on. So that's, I think that's one of the reasons why this has been such a big story and why NBA people are treading so lightly. I mentioned it the other day. Oh, there's your boss.
There's my boss, Joe Tye.
Sitting right there in the front row.
Clapping. After a big three.
You know, and he has been probably front and center when it comes to, I don't want to say the apologist faction of the NBA, but certainly the side that's trying to play both sides, trying to play it down the middle, trying not to offend the Chinese, trying to protect basically what is a giant investment in that country in NBA basketball. I said a couple of days ago when Steve Kerr came out and was very quiet on the subject, basically, and I had no problem with it at the time. You know, I'm still reading about this issue. I don't want to give an ill-informed opinion, but, you know, I don't want to say anything right now. So he kind of left it at that, and I said at the time, okay, I respect that. I think more of us should go ahead and wait to have an opinion before we simply, you know, start spouting off on something that maybe we're not fully versed on. But I also expect at some point Steve Kerr does have to give us his opinion.
You got to.
If you're Steve Kerr. And we haven't heard anything yet, I think, from the Golden State Warriors coach now on this Chinese situation, given a couple of days. Guess who noticed that yesterday?
Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yes.
Someone who has been a sharp target of Steve Kerr over the last, you know, couple of years noticed that Steve Kerr has been silent. And here's what the old president of the United States had to say about one of my favorite people.
Are the Chinese wrong to be putting pressure on the NBA, sir?
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States. But when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually. It'll be very interesting. Excuse me?
Are you okay, then, with the Chinese government pressuring the NBA over Hong Kong?
They have to work out their own situation. The NBA, they know what they're doing. But I watched the way that, like, Kerr, Popovich, and some of the others were pandering to China, and yet to our own country, they don't, it's like they don't respect it. It's like they don't respect it. I said, what a difference. Isn't it sad? It's very sad. To me, it's very sad.
Well, you'll get a response. Now you'll get a response.
Someone's been waiting a long time to try to get back at Kerr and Popovich.
Hey, were you just seething yesterday, Ben?
Can I just say that
here's the tough part.
It's very petty, and I think that he's actually within his rights to be a little bit petty about that.
I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question.
That is so mad. He's red.
Well, this is the thing. It bothers
me
a little bit.
Ben, put the computer down. Do not throw that.
I've already gone on record as saying I kind of agree with Donald Trump in this situation, though. I do think... You know, I don't think Steve Kerr is scared, quote unquote, but he does need to come out and I think make a comment at some point. I think Donald Trump is on to something a little bit here. And now that Adam Silver has kind of come out and said that, okay, we're not going to apologize. We're going to back up the free speech rights of Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM, and our players and whoever else wants to say anything, it gives cover for anyone else who wants to say stuff as well. But I also wouldn't be surprised that if nothing gets said until at least the teams that are playing right there right now
are home.
Come home. Yeah. Because you don't really want to escalate an international incident while you have guys you know, coaches you know, players you know, who are currently a guest in another country that could act unpredictably while your guys are there. And if someone came up to Steve Kerr or Greg Popovich and said, hey, we want you to feel free to say whatever you want. Can you just wait until we get these teams back to the United States and get through this for a couple of days? I would probably say, yeah, I see the wisdom in not fanning the flames of what's already an international incident while our clubs are over there. And I will do you a solid on that. But rest assured, in a couple of days when they're home, I will be commenting on the situation and I will be responding to the President of the United States. We'll see if that actually happens, but I would imagine that that's where they kind of stand right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%,
yeah,
Benny.
I mean, if I'm Steve Kerr right now, though, and that I just got that, oh, man, I'm itching to take the Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm itching to get in front of a microphone and a camera at this point and have a response. So we'll see when that happens. My prediction is when the Lakers and the Nets get on planes and are out of Chinese airspace.
Yes.
That you'll hear a lot more commentary from a lot of people in the NBA, whether it be those guys, players, LeBron, whoever it is. They're just waiting until perhaps they don't have to get out of a potentially hostile situation.
Exactly.
Right now. So, well, they're playing the game. It's the fourth quarter. And Lakers have looked really good. As someone who wasn't sure how quickly LeBron James and Anthony Davis could get on the same page, they've got on the same page so far in the first couple of preseason games. Dwight Howard looks like he has actually come with a new attitude, ready to play. How long will it last? I've got no idea, but the Lakers being relevant is good for basketball. And right now, Woodsy, they look very relevant.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's a preseason game, so get super excited about it. I mean, I know you will, but I'm not going
to. I'm excited about it. I'm scrolling through Twitter. There is a tweet from 4.5 years ago that has resurfaced since last night. It was from @Dodgers.
Oh, God.
In all caps.
Oh, God.
On April 17th, 2015. Howie goes boom.
Howie goes boom.
And that was found and resurfaced yesterday, right after.
Because Howie played for the Dodgers,
yeah,
right? I know he was on the Angels, a little time on the Dodgers as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That was... What a game. It's undefeated. Postseason baseball is undefeated. Now, the first game yesterday was terrible. It was terrible. But
I was able to get a good nap in before the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean,
it was amazing, though, and it's terrible.
Oh, it was incredibly amazing, and it's terrible.
I mean, think about this. So the Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning. That game starts at 5 o'clock Eastern time.
Correct.
So a very unusually early start for the East Coast. It's a weekday. So I imagine you had Braves fans who were going to the game but also had to work.
Yeah, at least a half a day, right?
Hey, like, we're going to leave early, but we're going to fight traffic. There had to be at least a ton, you know, at least a couple thousand of Braves fans who were still fighting their way into the ballpark, into their seats, and by the time they sat down for whatever they paid for postseason tickets, they get to their seat and they look up and they're down 10-0 in the top of the first
inning.
When you sit down, that's that has to be one of the worst playoff experiences a fan could have.
Yeah, man, it is. What do you do? Do you stay or do you go home?
Well, I stay. I stay. And here's
what's your cutoff? The fifth. When it's 13-0?
No, in a playoff game, I'm probably there until at least the seventh.
You're going to ride it out a little bit? Just kind of soak it all in?
See, now, early in the game, if I was Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, I'd go, hey, guys, this is ugly, but, hey, one an inning. If we can score one run an inning.
Yeah, after the first.
Hey, we can get back into this. That doesn't sound quite as daunting as we need to score 10 to tie this thing.
Do you think his job is in jeopardy at all?
It's a good question.
Because that would pose some competition for the Padres in the managerial hunt. They'd be a very desirable landing spot.
I don't think it's in jeopardy. I don't. I mean, the guy, by all accounts, is a really, really good manager. And I don't know what you do differently in that game yesterday, other than probably going with Soroka over Foltynewicz. But again, I just, hindsight being 20/20, I can't imagine you thought Foltynewicz was going to get hit as hard as he did early. He got a big error. I mean, they're getting guys on by way of a drop third strike. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and it totally spiraled out of control.
Freddie Freeman had a chance to get them out of the inning if he turns a double play. Instead, it turns into an error. Series.
Well, you're talking to a guy here, Ben, that managed his team one time. We lost by not. We were up 9 in the ninth and lost by 1. We lost with in the ninth inning. I mean, it's happened.
People calling
it's
for your head.
The same thing.
My team was calling for my head. Yes. It's the worst thing you could ever imagine. And I just think, though, what would you guys rather have? If you're a Dodger fan or you're a Braves fan, who's having a worse morning? I think a Dodger fan. I think
absolutely,
because I think the expectations were higher, and I also think that losing that way is worse than just getting steamrolled. It's like you go to a prize fight. And everybody's hyped up for it. The guy gets knocked out in 10 seconds. You're like, well, all right. I mean, you just wear it.
You move through the stages of grief faster.
Yes.
In a game like the Braves loss as opposed to the Dodgers one, that sticks with you because there's so many moments where you just go back, oh, if this one little thing had just been different, then our team would have probably won the game. In a game like the Braves-Cardinals, you don't have that agony of, oh, if they had just done this. It's like, oh no, we were losing that no matter what.
Yeah.
This was just not our day.
Not our day. Yeah, I mean, I think it's much tougher to be a part of a loss like that. And really, the expectations is what plays into it for me. If you're a Dodger fan, you were thumping your chest and really feeling like, all right, yeah, we've lost the last two World Series. We'll get back there at least.
It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Start dialing right now, 833-288-0973 if you want to play a little real or fake. A chance to win some movie passes, 833-288-0973. We need a contestant to go head-to-head against Woodsy in our game this morning. Let's go ahead and get to it. It is time for Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, we've got a pair of tickets to Ultra Star Cinemas in Mission Valley on the line, San Diego's hometown movie theater. And what we do is we play five rounds. You try to separate real from fake, and if you can beat or even tie Woodsy, we will give you the tickets. If you cannot, we'll throw them back into the hopper and give all the listeners a chance to steal those tickets. That's what happened yesterday when Woods pulled it out in the final round of a dramatic WNBA-themed Real or Fake.
Whip it out.
All right, so this time we're going to stick to baseball since we were just talking about the postseason.
Yeah.
Let's get right to it. Padres fans, and by the way, we've got Andy in Mission Valley as the contestant. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You a Padres fan?
No, I'm a big Yankees fan.
Hey, right, boy.
Well, we'll see. At least you know some baseball, so this could help you. Let's take a trip down memory lane. During postseason appearances, 1984, 1996, 1998, 2005, and 2006, 17 different Padres players have connected on at least one playoff home run. Today on Real or Fake, I will name a Padre of the past. You tell me if he is a real member of that postseason home run club for the Padres, or a fake who has never gone deep for the Padres in the playoffs. Understand, Andy?
Do it.
All right, Woodsy, let's get started. Kilvio Varis, real or fake?
Real.
Kilvio, light-hitting second baseman.
Very light.
Never went deep in the postseason. Andy, you're first up in round one. Kurt Bavacqua, real or fake, Padres postseason home run club?
Let's go with fake.
No, he actually went deep in the 1984 World Series twice against the Detroit Tigers. All right, no score. Round number two. Woodsy, let's try Wally Joyner, real or fake member of the Home Run Club.
Wally hit some bombs in his day. Don't know if he did here. I'm going to say fake.
Yes, hit a home run for the Padres back in 1996. All right, Andy, we're still looking for our first point. Round two. Oh, here's a good one. Dave Roberts, real or fake member of the Padres Home Run Club in the postseason?
Go with, seems too obvious. I'm going to go fake.
Did go deep once.
We are right. Bad.
Round three. Let's try this one. Woodsy, Chris Gomez. Remember the shortstop, Chris Gomez. Real or fake?
Real.
Yes, Gomi did hit one. All right, Andy, let's see if you can match Woodsy in round three. Khalil Green, stick with the shortstops. Real or fake?
Fake.
Yeah, Khalil never went deep in the postseason for the Padres. All right, we're 1-1 going to round four. Woodsy, how about Adrian Gonzalez? Real or fake member of the Padres Home Run Club in the postseason?
Fake.
Very good. He did hit a game 163 home run, but never a postseason home run. All right, Andy, it's 2-1. Let's try John Vanderwall. Real or fake member of the Padres postseason home run club, Andy?
Real.
Yeah, pinch hitter extraordinaire John Vanderwall. All right, 2-2 going into round number five. Here we are again, the drama. Let's go, Woodsy, with Steve Finley. Real or fake member of the Padres home run club?
I'm going to say real.
Yes, Fins did go deep. So it all comes down to this, Andy. You get it right, you win the tickets. You get it wrong, we throw him back into the hopper for all the marbles. Real or fake? Padres postseason home run, Greg Nettles. Real or fake?
Feeling like WNBA teams on me. Let's go with fake.
Yes!
Yeah!
The third baseman did not go deep in 1984, which means, Andy, you have won our movie passes from Ulta Star Cinemas with a 3-3 tie against Woods. No loss for you, though, Woods.
No,
good
I'll take
push.
It.
You'll take it.
Man, good week.
And a nice little game of real or fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, it's just 17 different players. It's not that many.
It's really
in
not.
History to have.
Tony? Tony
home runs. Tony did. Yeah, I left off some of the obvious ones. Tony in the World Series,
that was
obviously.
Amazing.
In
that
Yankee
was amazing.
Stadium.
Yep.
Jim Leyritz hit a ton. He has more than anyone. Cammy hit a few. You know, there's some obvious ones that I left off. I thought we'd make it a little more challenging. All right. Eddie, we'll come back. Hour number three, or Mort Report is ahead. Don't do this. Dave Roberts, his status with the Dodgers. We'll get to all to it. Half the show still to go on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.